Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
Welcome to Solutions, your favorite radio program right here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio with your favorite, yours truly, host. I hope I'm your favorite. I'm prophesying to myself. A very warm welcome to each of you this Tuesday evening, June the 18th, 2013. My name is Pastor Mwaka, and I am logging in from the beautiful Dallas, Texas, where God lives and where all the good-looking people are. You ought to come here one day and visit us if you have called from any other state or any other nation. It is always a tremendous joy and privilege to be able to use this media platform to empower, enrich, enlighten, encourage, enhance. That's what we are all about. This radio show was birthed over 9 months ago. My husband and I have just a great passion to see godly, loving, strong relationships and marriages in the body of Christ. And so when the opportunity came, instead of just preaching, we thought, well, why don't we deal with matters of the heart? And you know, relationships are key. Relationships are so important in everybody's lives. I mean, millionaires will never enjoy their money if their relationships or marriages are on the rocks. University professors who have degree upon degree, they will tell you if their marriage is in trouble, there's no joy and passion. And so we are all affected by matters of the heart. Love is from God. Relationships are from God. Marriage is from God. And so we hope over the last 9 months in some way that this program has blessed you, challenged you, helped you, ministered unto you, changed your thinking. And we pray that you are better. We, the hosts, are definitely much, much better learning. You know, this is the beauty of bringing in so many wonderful guests as they share their experiences, as they share their testimonies. And we've had people from everywhere. I mean, it's just been wonderful. Some single, most couples, ministers of the gospel. I mean, it's just been beautiful. And with the different nations that have been on, you can see we all have one thing in common. We all want to be loved. We want to be appreciated. We want to be validated. Every woman, married woman, will tell you all she wants is her husband to love her, and every married man will tell you he wants his wife to respect him. And we've dealt with so many topics, in-laws, money, I mean, all kinds of things, and it's just been absolutely wonderful. We do have a page on Facebook called Solutions. Please like us. And if this program has blessed you, please do share with your friends, because we want to use this platform to reach as many, many multitudes of people. You know, knowledge is power. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And we don't want to see, excuse me, young people hooking up with the wrong man or woman just out of desperation. But we believe, you know, once they've heard some of the testimonies and once they have that strong foundation of the Word of God, they can pray, they can wait on the Lord, they can, you know, make the right choice. And so this is why we are here. We want to be real. We want to be relevant. And we want to be practical in your lives. And, of course, we love to hear from you. Thank you for the incredible feedback. I just went to a function, I believe it was Friday, and I was sitting in a group of people, and this girl comes to me, "Oh, you're Pastor Mwaka. I want you to know, I tune into," and she was so loud, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I tune into Solutions every week. It's great. I need it. Keep doing it." And so when we hear things like that, it's not really a pat on the back or good for the ego, but really, this show, we want to help people. That's what we're all about. So it's not just about feeling good, but we really do want to impact lives. We want to hear that something one of the guest speakers said, shared, helped you in your marriage or in your dating life or in your engagement, or helped you to make a very important decision. So you are also feel free to email us topics that you would like us to discuss. We will discuss all those things. Before I bring on our wonderful, I call her woman of wisdom, elegant, classy, beautiful, let me make a couple of announcements. I'm kind of super excited. My sweetheart, my best friend, oh, my dear husband is back from East Africa. He had gone to Rwanda, where we do major missions there, taking care of orphans and widows. And he was also in Uganda ministering. And he had a superb and magnificent time. You know, one of the things, let me share with you, beloved, it's really good to take care of people and honor people, because when your day comes, they do the same for you. And I remember when we were in Boston, we hosted most of the key ministers from Uganda. So every time we go there, talk about preferential treatment, talk about VIP treatment. And this was in the 90s when we had just, started ministry. We were just a young couple, excited, zealous for the Lord. But thank God that they have never forgotten that seed. And so my darling was warmly received. Boy, I'm trying to flow in that grace. You know, in Africa, men are kings. So I'm looking at him and trying to do all that they did over there in Rwanda and Uganda. But he's doing great. He's happy. We're excited to have him back. He's a little jet lagged, so he is resting. So that is the good news from home. All Nations, our local church, is a very busy house. I tell you, we keep our wonderful church family hopping. There's always something cooking. One of the great things, I must say, is weddings. Oh, my. I'm telling you, since last year, I believe we had 4 weddings. This year, we're going to have a total of 5. 2 have already taken place. We have 1 coming at the end of this month, 1 coming up in October, and our lovely guest speaker tonight will share a little bit more, and then I believe another one in December. So we really thank God. It's wonderful. It's something we prayed about, and it's just been a joy to see people coming together. So that's the testimony from the church. But once a year, every June, we have what's called a 24-hour of prayer. Our church is called All Nations House of Prayer. And so once a year, it's like an extended overnight. We get into the house of God about 6 p.m. and, don't come out until the next day, Saturday. And it's just a tremendous time of worship and prayer and intercession. And we pray for everything. Ourselves, families. We also have a prayer line family, so they send in their requests. So I'm letting you know, if you're in Dallas, it's not just for our church, but you are very welcome to come and attend, to come and pray. You may not be able to do an overnight, but you can come in for 2 to 3 hours. I'm telling you, the atmosphere is electric. Thank God for praying people who know how to get a hold of God's altar, and we just really intercede for even this great nation of America, immigration reform. We pray for everything. That's why we are there 24 hours. So if you're in the Dallas area, you're very welcome. All Nations House of Prayer. The flyer will be up on Facebook tomorrow. And then on Sunday, not only is it my birthday, I'm getting younger, as you can tell by all the pictures on Facebook, but we have a great, great man of God from the nation of Zimbabwe, one of the great gospel artists from the southern region of Africa. His name is Prince Mafokidze, very powerful, phenomenal atmosphere changer. And he is going to be with us Sunday morning. So if you don't have a home church, or if you're not tied up at your local church, again, you are welcome. It's going to just be an awesome praise and worship service on Sunday, this Sunday, June the 23rd, with Pastor Prince Mafokidze. One of our pastors introduced me to him, and I was so touched by his humility and just, you know, he just spoke so much about the Lord. And in fact, it was the other pastor who was saying, you know, this guy has ministered at Bishop Jakes' Potter's House, he's ministered in Covenant and brought the house down. And for many years in Zimbabwe, South Africa, Botswana, Swaziland, you know, the southern region, Zambia, he was known as a gospel artist, but he's now also pastoring a church of 3,000 people, not bad. But I thank God for this man of God. He loves God. He's a solid, seasoned man of God. His mentor is Tudor Bismarck. In fact, when he was talking inside, I'm like, this guy reminds me of Bismarck. And later on, it came out, I was like, no wonder. So he's from a very good stock. So those are the exciting things that are happening at All Nations Dallas, in addition to the weddings and the bridal showers and all the wonderful summer events. So I just wanted to get that word out. You never know who may want to attend. If you're in the Dallas area, again, welcome to pray with us Friday night and just come and enjoy and receive the ministry of Pastor Prince on Sunday. Well, last Tuesday we had this dynamic couple who poured in so much wisdom, and we had the great honor of having a Thanksgiving celebration for them this past Sunday at our church here in Dallas, and many of their friends from as far as San Antonio and just different parts came just to celebrate as they shared their testimony. It was just so beautiful. And we were so blessed last Tuesday. Even before the program was over last Tuesday, I was getting texts, we need Dr. Lillian back, we need Dr. Lillian back. She really poured out her heart, but you know, you could just feel the wisdom, the integrity, the excellence, the fear of the Lord. What an impact she made on all of us. And I believe she is back with us this evening, Dr. Lillian Odera from Miami, Florida. Are you on Solutions tonight?
Yes, I am, a woman of God. Good evening and welcome. And thank you for welcoming me back. I am so honored.
Praise be to God. And first of all, happy birthday. I wish you had told us on Sunday. We would have just taking it up a notch, you know, put on some praise music, get our shoes off and celebrate some more.
Thank you so much.
How was your birthday in Miami?
My birthday was fabulous. It started right in Dallas with my beloved.
Uh-huh.
I made it back to Miami. So God has been good. It was a wonderful birthday. I'm grateful for the start of another wonderful year.
Amen, amen. God is so good, and we are truly, truly honored to have you back. Dr. Lillian, we know you're a busy lady with your practice and, of course, preparing for the wedding, and so we don't take it lightly, you just wanting to come back and pour into our wonderful radio family. And radio family, our topic tonight is girl talk. We want you to feel free and just ask Dr. Lillian questions. But before we open it up, there were some very powerful things she shared last Tuesday that I believe struck a chord with many of you. And one of the things I would love you to share, Dr. Lillian, you talked about the season of preparation and some very practical steps that you took. You know, many times people say, I want to go back to school. And you're like, okay, so have you checked schools? No. Are you like, you know, reading to kind of, you know, challenge your mind? No. And so you wonder, they say, oh, I want to be in business. I'm like, okay, so are you attending business seminars, you know, changing your association? No. And also in marriage, people say, I want to get married, but doing absolutely nothing to prepare. So last week, Dr. Lillian, you shared some very powerful nuggets of some things you did when you sensed that this was the season that Boaz is about to come. Can you take our radio family step by step, what you did, how you did it, because we want to be as practical and as real as possible. Welcome again, and just share from your heart.
Amen. Thank you again for having me back on. I love girl talk, because girl talk is a heart-to-heart moment, and, you know, we can just get real and just bare ourselves and just strip down all the religious stuff and just talk. And I know this would help somebody. I'm really honored that I can share my heart, and I'll really be as open and as blunt and as, you know, as possible, so that somebody else gets help, because it's not enough for us to just talk about, you know, go home and read your Bible. That is great, but sometimes girls, we want the practical, and I love it that the prophetess, you emphasize that. So just briefly, and feel free to interrupt me if you need me to clarify or to ask a question, but as I was thinking about this, and last week I shared some things about distinguishing the difference between desperation and yearning, when we get to that place of wanting to get married. And just for a minute or two, let me just reiterate that, you know, I got to that place where I had the yearning to be married, and I was not desperate to get married. And I said that, you know, when you're desperate for marriage or for companionship or just to not be single anymore, If it comes out as desperation, then there is also a sense of panic and anxiety that comes with that. And I'm talking about desperation in the context of relationships, not in a spiritual manner. I'm talking about in the context of I need companionship. It easily gets overridden by anxiety and panic, which then leads to, you know, a plan B, problem solving and figuring out what can I do to alleviate myself of this anxiety and this worry about the clock is ticking. I need to get married. And it can either transition from a divine experience or a God-ordained, because it is God-ordained, it can transition from that to a very carnal experience where you start helping God along and saying, you know, maybe if I lost some weight, maybe if I changed my hairstyle, maybe if I signed up for Christian Mingle, maybe if, you know, then you start looking at things from a very flesh-led perspective, if it's desperation. Now, that is the wrong approach. But if there's a yearning and a desire, because this is a desire that God puts in us. So if the desire is there, the best place to take it is back to God. As a child of God, you take it back to God and be open with God. It doesn't have to be spiritual. Just tell God that, hey, I have this yearning. I have this desire to be married. I have this desire for companionship. And leaving it at the feet of Jesus, he gives you the wisdom to nurture that desire. And one of the very primary things I know I did when the desire was very awake in me, I decided to love God wholeheartedly. I was already very much in love with God, but I threw myself into just the presence of God. I saturated myself consistently, continually, perpetually with the presence of God. Because when the yearning, when the desire is there and the enemy recognizes you have a desire, he also brings his counterfeit. He brings God's fake to satisfy the desire. And if the desire is desperation, it can evolve into lust. And then you're really in trouble. But if you're saturated with the presence of God and you have the desire, then you're constantly wrapped up in the arms of God, that he says, I got you. I'm working on it. I got you. And you dwell in the promises of God. Your heart becomes so content in God, knowing that He's taking care of your business. So the spiritual part becomes really important. And as you go deeper spiritually, the other thing that I would say is very important to do when that desire is there, make sure you're hands-on in ministry.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether you're in the cleaning crew, whether you're in the ushering board, whether you're the worshiper, because that helps you to have accountability. Because spiritually, if any church is like All Nations Council of Prayer that I know, you cannot be an usher in the hospitality ministry or what have you, but your spirit is out of sorts.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you're aligned. So if you're hands-on in ministry, that means that saturation is even covered even more with you being constantly serving and helping and pouring into others. It helps with your maturity because somebody is always pouring into you, walking with you. That's not the time to isolate yourself. Because some of us, when the desperation and the desire to be married is there, and if it becomes carnal, we disengage from the household of faith.
Yeah.
And then we are vulnerable.
Yeah.
So nobody knows when Tom, Dick, and Harry showed up. Because you're vulnerable. You're disconnected from a spiritual covering. So when you know, if there are any young ladies on the line who are hoping and yearning to get married, now more than ever is the time to be in the center of the house of God. Let your pastors know. Let your spiritual covering know. Let your mentors know, I want to be married. They will cover you. I'll stop there for now, Prophetess, and maybe you can guide me if there's something you want me to cover.
Yes, you said something about, you know, if somebody wants to lose weight and change their hair, what's wrong with that?
That's a good question. That's another area that we need to prepare. Because the spiritual is great. The ministry is great. I call this area self-care.
Mm-hmm.
As you plan and desire to be married, it's important for you to really be attentive and deliberate. I like the word deliberate, about your self-care. Because sometimes young ladies come to me, or especially at women's conferences, and they want to get married. And then I look at sometimes their physical appearance. And it's not to say they're not beautiful, but they might disregard their physical appearance. You know, those of us who like braiding our hair, honey, don't have the braid on for 6 months until we can't tell where the root of your hair is. It sounds funny, but if that is off putting to other women, can you imagine how the brothers are thinking about it? Just basic self-care of, you know, you can't just say that, you know, I'm beautiful on the inside. You have to take the external as well. You know, take a little time, brush your hair. You don't have to overload yourself with makeup and, you know, seductive clothing or what have you. Just look good. And that comes with self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
If you have great self-esteem and you can continually work on your self-esteem by surrounding yourself with people who build you, encourage you, appreciate you. And sometimes that really comes from how we were raised, who's been a part of our lives, who has spoken into our lives. But if you're feeling good about yourself on the inside, take care of the outside. Take care of your health. You know, if you've not been careful about how you look or how you feel, sisters, let's go to the gym. Let's work out. If we need to burn up a little bit of weight, let's do that. The motivation, I have to say this, is not because you want the guys to notice us, but do it for yourself.
Yes.
You have to do it because you love yourself and you are the temple of God.
Yes.
So every time, same way we prepare ourselves to go on a date with somebody else, a physical human being, the same approach we have with God. Prepare yourself, Esther. If you're going to go before the king, honey, look good. Fix that hair. You know, go to, you, and you can bargain shop. I'm a huge bargain shopper. You don't have to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You can shop at Walmart and look great because men are physical beings.
Yes.
And even as spiritual as they are, the first thing that catches their attention is what meets their eye before they even engage you in a conversation.
That's right.
But you don't want to make your physical look like you're desperate. So you don't want to, you know, overkill. You don't want to overdo it. Just get your comfort level. I've met beautiful young women who they don't want a speck of makeup on themselves, but oh, they take care of themselves. So that's an area I think we should work on. Your physical health, if you need to go to the doctor to check out how you're doing, if you're going to be married, prophetess, you can attest to this. Your physical health, if you carry it in, whatever you carry into your marriage becomes apostle's responsibility as well.
Yes, yes.
Say if you're diabetic, that's not left outside. He needs to be a part of how you take care of yourself. So how much more if you take care of yourself as you walk into marriage, rather than saying, I only take care of my spiritual, the rest I'll take care of as I go. You don't want to be a burden in terms of your health to other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is excellent what you have shared. I really like what you talk about, the personal care. You know, today I was going to meet my husband at the airport. Actually, usually a lot of the guys will offer because they know I have the twins, but I'm like, no, this one I got to do. Honey, you should have seen me putting on makeup, my little heels. And I was laughing at myself. I'm like, geez, you know, you'd think I was going on a date, you know. But, I mean, if married women, we can, you know, continue to maintain. Because, you see, I do that because, first of all, I love to dress up. I want to look beautiful. I'm God's daughter. But I also want my hubby, I want to be pleasant to the sight. I don't want him to go, oh, ouch, let me return and do another week in East Africa. So how much more? You young ladies, you know, you do it, number one, for yourself. And, you know, you feel so much better when your hair is nice. You know, you have something pretty on. You feel a whole load better. Talk to us, Dr. Lillian, a little bit about confidence and self-esteem. Because one thing in talking to guys, there's no man who wants to be around a miserable woman who's always just down, you compliment, so talk to us a little bit. How can our lovely young ladies, you know, boost their confidence and self-esteem?
That's a good area, and that really touches on my professional piece as well, because self-esteem, God desires for us to have good self-esteem. He calls us the apple of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a lot of things he says about us that is supposed to boost our self-esteem. And if we believe what God says about us, and I alluded to this earlier, that it may happen that the way some of us were raised, the messages that were poured on you by your caregivers or siblings or somebody around you, maybe they told me you're good for nothing, they told you you'll never amount to anything or you're not pretty or whatever it is they may have said. When you come to the Lord, that narrative is supposed to be rewritten by God, because you go to the Word of God, which is a manual of how you run your life, and you start confessing those things that God says you are to yourself. Now, that's mm-hmm. not that easy. We all need some help with that. Surround mm-hmm. yourself with people who affirm you, people who highlight your areas of strength,
mm-hmm.
who your gifts, who recognize the things you're good at. You may be a very shy person and say, well, Dr. Lillian, I'm not the kind of person who's confident and I'm out there, you know, on the pulpit or singing or talking to people. I'm not that sociable. But every one of you on the line right now, you have something you're good at.
Yes.
You may be a writer, you write articles for the church, you may be just a good organizer and you're a behind-the-scenes kind of person, but people see your work. That's an area that seek people who encourage you in those areas. And as you build on those areas of strength, they pull up the areas where you don't feel so confident. If you believe what God says that you are and you surround yourself with people who affirm those things, then your self-esteem really, really grows. Even as young women who are not married, I spoke about this last week. If you're desiring to be married, don't surround yourself with people who are going to keep telling you that you're going to die alone. That, oh, my sister, you're 40. What are the chances you're going to meet somebody? We're just going to die as single women alone. Remove yourself from such company. Because what they will get into your spirit, and sooner you'll start believing it. Surround yourself with people who say, we are waiting on your wedding. We know it's going to happen. Not women who say, oh, my God, you have no hope. You know. And I had to do that for myself because there are people around me, believers. I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about saved people who would say, well, my sister, you're very educated. I don't see anybody around who can handle that.
Wow.
I had to disconnect in a very nice way, kind and polite, disengage from people like that, and be around people like prophetess who tell me there's a man of honor in your path.
Yes.
You know, who'd say, you know, like Evangelist Milton Nyangon says, you know, God will bring a man who has destiny, who can carry you. That you need a man who will elevate you to that level, and he's out there. I support women like that. Even the single girls, avoid the ones who say, well, I'll keep you company. We'll just be on our own. Be around the ones who are saying, these are the colors I want for my wedding. And I know it's soon. It boosts your self-esteem when you surround yourself with people like that. You start becoming confident about your future. And you start prophesying to yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm wife material.
Yes.
It helps you. Let me say one more thing before I close this out. You need to change your mindset about yourself and about your future. How do I say this? Have a wife mindset, not a girlfriend mindset. If you have a girlfriend mindset, you're looking for somebody you can hang around with in just good company, indefinitely. But if you have the mindset of my desire is not to be a girlfriend, my desire is to be a wife, God is going to bring somebody your way who is ready to also be a husband. And you can break the cycle of dating and breaking up, dating and breaking up. Because people will not walk into your life to check you out, to see if the shoe fits. That's something I had to tell myself. I don't want men coming into my life to just check me out to see if we can work this out. So that's another thing, because if you have a string of broken relationships, it affects your self-esteem. Because you start asking yourself, am I really good at this thing? If I can't be a girlfriend, how can I be a wife? You can break that cycle by saying, God, I don't want to be anybody's girlfriend. I want to be a wife. And your mindset will change about the preparation to be a wife.
Oh, I love that. So how because most girls are looking to date. I mean, I don't know if it's a lack of faith that they don't even believe. You know, and I think what is so refreshing to me about Anthony is he was looking for a wife. I remember even when we met him a year ago, he clearly said it, that I'm trusting God for a wife. You know, so and that is refreshing. So there are guys out there who are serious, who are committed, who love the Lord. They're not looking to break anybody's heart. Let me just put that out there, radio family, because sometimes our guys do get a bad rap, you know, that they're players, they're not serious, they're looking at Susan and Alice and Bernadette, but not all guys are like that. And I think Anthony is a classic example that really there are some serious guys out there. So how do young ladies develop a wife mindset?
How do you develop a wife mindset?
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about what you want to become.
Mm-hmm.
if you desire, like saying, if you desire God to give you a king, you need to strive to be a queen. Because if a king walks into your life, but you're a servant girl and your mentality is that of a servant girl, then that match is difficult. They will put a robe on you, a crown on you, but if your mindset is of handmaiden, it's going to be hard. So it starts with the way you think, and the way you think determines the standards you have. A lot of people challenged me over the years, the last maybe 10 years or so, to lower my standards because they thought I was asking for too much. And you have to be specific about what you want, because the mindset is determined by what is it that you want. If you don't know what you want, you'll settle for anything.
Exactly.
But if you can determine specifics about what your standard is, you want somebody who is, you know, just have your pointers of the things that are important to you, whether they have to do with your personality, whether they have to do with your value system, whether they have to do with your career ambitions, and importantly, whether they have to do with your spiritual desires regarding your walk with God and your ministry. Those are the things that, in my opinion, should guide the standard path. That little list that girls like to make should be driven by those things. And sometimes it sounds a little silly, but you can take time to write those things down and say, you know, I desire a man who can lead. I desire who's motivated in his career. I desire, if you desire to get married to a pastor, put that down. You desire somebody who loves sports. Write that down, because maybe you're a sports buff. Then you put that down. I desire somebody who's a risk taker and adventurous, who will venture jumping or skydiving, whatever it is. You know, put it down, because when you start working with this person, you need to be compatible in the sense that you can have fun together.
Right, right.
You share some hobbies. So your list is guided by those, and those standards, both external things are temporary because those will change, you know. But the solid things are the things that should drive that list. And as you put those things down, then you say, okay, I have a perfect list of a king right here, of a Boaz. Then on the other column, what am I? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have anything that can match that? Or is it just because I watched a Lifetime movie and those things look really cute? You know, I love Lifetime. Lifetime movies, they're very much, they're nice, but they have their place, and it's a movie. So as you're creating your list of the things you desire, for me, maybe I can share my own.
Yes.
I desired, because maybe you're saying, she's talking about these external things, but again, we're being practical. When this desire was stirred up in me to be married, I already had formulated some things in my list that I wanted. I wanted a man who had no fear. Somebody who was bold and courageous.
Wow.
Because I know I'm not afraid. I'm relatively shy, but I'm not afraid, especially when it comes to the things of God. And I wanted somebody who could match that. They didn't have to be out there like me, but they could be okay being out there with me because of my ministry, because of my career and my personality. But I also wanted somebody who could balance the spiritual and the social and every other piece. So I said, I love sports. So I asked God, could you give me somebody who enjoys sports, who loves basketball? By the way, I don't know how the scores are going for the Spurs in Miami. And I said, God, who can enjoy basketball? Who can enjoy football? I'm a huge football fan. And I put that before God. Okay, probably thinking nothing spiritual about it, but somebody we can sit on Sunday afternoon and watch some game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get that. Anthony and I can watch football all afternoon. And I won't be enduring the football. So that was on my list. I wanted somebody who was driven professionally. God gave me that. So I was very clear about those things. Somebody who was flexible, you know, and not rigid in their thinking or the way we live our lives. Those of you who've met Anthony, you've seen how flexible he is, but he's actually the one who's going to move to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't have a mindset of saying it's the woman who moves to where the man is.
Right, right.
I didn't want somebody who would choke my ambitions
mm-hmm.
or my profession because I'm the wife. So I was honest with God. I said, you know, I'm driven professionally. Would you bring me somebody who's equally driven and flexible? And that's what I have. So that's an example of some things that were on my list that I prayed for because of where I was, somebody who was not intimidated by my ministry or my profession. He has zero fear about that because he loves me first before he cares about all those other peripheral things. So those are some things I would say would help us prepare ourselves for that next step.
Oh my God. You know, and that is just so awesome to see how God literally has answered you so specifically, and it's a testimony to show that God really does care about his daughters, and he really does give us the desires of our hearts. And, you know, those, you know, the different qualities you mentioned, Lillian, are so important, that compatibility. Today when my hubby and I were driving back from the airport, it literally felt like 5 minutes because we were like two little chatterboxes. He was telling me about Rwanda and Uganda and this one. Then I was telling him, and of course he wanted to know about the church, how was the event, and you know me, Miss Hyper, and so I'm describing for him in the car. I mean, I think people passing us thought, oh my God, these two, what is... But you know, it's that compatibility and that being friends, which is just so, so crucial. Now, before we open it up, I want to say, Radio Family, in case you've just logged on, we are doing part two with Dr. Lillian Odera here on Solutions, specifically Girl Talk, and she is just walking us through some practical things that she did to prepare herself. And, you know, one of the things I've so loved about you, Dr. Lillian, in the years, you know, that we've interacted together is your testimony. I mean, I just cannot emphasize the importance of having a testimony. You see, because you can sing like an angel, but, you know, if you don't treat people well, you're known to be rude, attitude. I mean, you know, when I saw the people who came on Sunday to your Thanksgiving, you know, there was such a spirit of joy. You know, everybody is genuinely happy because the two of you have a testimony. And, you know, sometimes people are a little bit careless in the way they treat people, in the way they conduct themselves, not knowing that, you know, our world is so connected. You find this one knows this one. You know, your cousin went to school with this one. So before we open it up, Dr. Lillian, to the radio family, to talk to them the importance of having a good testimony in the community.
Thank you. I'm really honored. Thank you for sharing that. I have to say that it's been almost an effortless experience for me to maintain my testimony, because when I thought about just what the Bible says, that, you know, we're in a multitude of witnesses, there's always somebody watching the way we live, and there are a lot of people around us who will never read a Bible, may never be inside of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are the Bible that we read. And, you know, what's her name? Maya Angelou says something really profound, that people will not always remember what you say, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
And,
wow.
You know, you can talk all day, but they will forget. But I strive everywhere I go to be careful about how I make people feel. And people sometimes come to me and say, remember that conference in 2006 in LA? And they say something that they came out of there with. And being in ministry, I'm careful about a small child as much as I'm careful about a little 15-year-old, you know, my peers, and the same way I'm careful with older women around me, the mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. Sometimes we may disregard them and say, oh, that's an old lady, you know. She's probably just visiting here. She's probably going to be gone back to Kenya shortly or back to Zambia shortly. But I've become very attentive in the people I interact with, everybody whose path I cross, how do I make them feel? And those of you in history, you know sometimes you're overwhelmed by a lot of people being around you and coming for ministry and prayer and encouragement, and you can easily dismiss them and say, I'm tired. They had me preach the whole weekend and dismiss them. You never know where you're going to run into that person. And they may be the connection you need for the next level.
Mm.
And there are people I even saw on Sunday who reminded me of days in Kenya in 90-something when they remembered me in ministry somewhere.
Wow.
That humbles me because when I realized what God was calling me to and how he was stretching me wide, I was very attentive about my testimony.
Yeah.
About how I interact with everybody, how I treat everybody, how I make them feel, whether we're in a social setting, professional setting. And I can share briefly, like when Anthony and I started our relationship, and we were in Dallas, and when the first trip I made back to Dallas after that, the very next day after I arrived in Dallas, we went around to visit with the pastors. And we went to at least three pastors' homes, and we actually met with the pastors and their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
We let them know. I remember we went to Jireyesus, and we told them, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tell you they saw us at the movies, they saw us at dinner, or even they saw us holding hands somewhere. This is what's going on. So you have to strive to be very open. Because if somebody saw us and they went back to Apostle and said, we saw Anthony and Lillian. Did you even know Lillian was in town? And did you even know Lillian had a man next to her? And, you know, so that's part of protecting the testimony, because you never know whether you're drawing people to God by just a simple gesture. So I went around Dallas and I told the pastors, by the way, this young man lives in Dallas and we are a couple. And I went to Maryland. I did the same thing.
Mm.
I went places where I do ministry. Whenever I was in town, whether by myself or with Anthony, I made that clear. That's part of girding your testimony.
Yeah.
And just finally, before I let questions come in, if you've been in relationships, regardless of how they ended, tie those loose ends. Some of them may have ended on a very sour note, but do your best to tie those loose ends as a believer so that you're not leaving a string of people with a bad taste in their mouth about how the relationship ended. As you look to get married, just clean up after yourself in terms of those relationships.
Like, outstanding. I mean, that is just, oh my, you know, we could just do a whole solution just on the power of testimony. Because as I said, the world has become so slow. I mean, literally everybody is connected to this one. And so we really salute you, woman of God, for just your humility, your love for God, obviously, your love for people, and just that accountability and the honor you have for servants of God. It's such a joy to support and endorse. And you know, even Anthony, when he came into our lives, I've seen this. You know, sometimes when people are getting married, they kind of will belong to three ministries so that the three ministries can support them. But he was very clear. Actually, most of his friends go to some of the established and wonderful churches here in Dallas, but he felt, look, God has called me to all nations. This is where I'm going to connect. This is my base. And, you know, that really speaks of integrity. Because, I mean, we've even had situations where once the wedding is over, you just never see or hear from people again. It's like, you know, they just came in for that. So thank God for the integrity of the two of you. Keep it up. You are touching lives all over the world. So at this time, we want to open it up to our wonderful radio family. Girl Talk with Dr. Lillian, please share your heart. She is on here to answer the questions that you have. Miss Lovely Tata Shiko, do we have some questions this evening?
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Lillian. We do have a caller, but they wanted someone else to go first, so I will start. And I have a question for Dr. Lillian, and we were talking with some girls, and they've listened to you, they've listened to this girl called Princess Irene from Boston. Princess Irene, for her preparation, she fasted for 40 days, she cut off everybody, and just like went into consecration, and on the 39th day, that's when she met her husband. And then for you, you were not fasting, but you were busy serving God. So there was someone who was saying she's confused, she doesn't know what to do, whether to fast or not to fast. Can you explain to ladies and help them know that it's not written in, you know, is it blood and stone, that you have to go Irene's way or you have to go Dr. Lillian's way or you have to go this way? Help them to understand, you know, what preparation is, and you don't have to follow someone else's path.
That's a really good question. You know, it would really be, actually, I'm glad there is no manual for preparation. Because we are all very different in our lifestyles. The structure of our lives are very different. And what we are doing for God or serving in different areas is really diverse. God is a God of diversity. But I think what I've emphasized a lot today is a very broad, maybe overarching manner of thinking about the preparation process. In the midst of all these things, there may come a season of prayer and fasting, depending on how you run your life. You don't have to go into a fast. But fasting, remember, helps us to focus. Mm-hmm. It helps us to concentrate and concentrate and to kind of clear out the gunk that may cloud sometimes our spirits from hearing God. I would highly recommend that if somebody wanted to go into a fast for that reason, that would be okay. But you need, to me, I did not go into specifically a fast of any given period of time, you know, in trusting for a husband. And I'll actually be honest on the line and let you guys know, I did not have a specific window when I said, now, from now on, praying for a husband. Because the desire kind of just built in me over time, and I started changing all these areas of my life through prayer, for sure. And there are moments when I focused a lot more on my mental, on my spiritual, on my social, on my self-care, on home care. I forgot about that piece, on home care, you know, homemaking. You know, preparing a space for a husband and a wife. You know, those are things that came with time. I did not have a time when I prayed and fasted, but God still worked with me in the preparation phase. I really created room in my life for God and I to kind of work on this thing. It wasn't a specified time. So I would encourage the caller, don't feel the pressure to have a specific structure. Go to God.
Right.
And depending on how you've been relating with God, because there's no magical season that opens this up.
Exactly.
God is going to help you to kind of structure and tailor a way that, one, fits your lifestyle, fits your relationship with God, and what you're seeking out. It may incorporate prayer and fasting. It may incorporate separation and consecration, which I think will still happen anyway. When we started today, Pastor Tess alluded to the idea of the preparation, that if you're planning to go to school, there are things you'll have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're married and you're hoping to get pregnant, there are things you have to start changing. So in the same manner as you're planning to get married, there are things you're going to start changing. They may not be in a specific window of time, but they may be gradual because it will be a lifestyle change. I hope that helps answer that. Don't feel pressure for structure.
Right, and I'm glad you emphasized, Dr. Lillian, that, you know, everyone is different. And those of you, if you remember Princess Irene, the reason she went on that 40-day consecration, and I know she won't mind me saying, because she shares very openly, she had been in a very, I don't know how to describe it, a very tough relationship before, you know, she met her husband. And everybody thought they would get married. I think her family thought they would get married to the previous one. And unfortunately, well, no, actually, fortunately, it didn't end well. So, you know, sometimes when you've been with somebody, I think they were together for like 3 years, you know, she said to her it was kind of detoxifying herself and just, you know, just God. And she said the Lord actually specifically spoke to her about that. So that's why it's the preparation is different for her and for Dr. Lillian. So I'm glad you said that, Dr. Lillian. It's not set in stone. Basically, what we're doing this evening, Radio Family, we're giving guidelines. But if you heard what Dr. Lillian said, is hear from God, because each of us are different. He has a plan for each of you. So somebody's preparation will be different from James, different from Margaret, you know, different from Milka. So the second caller.
Yes, we have actually three callers on queue. I'll start with area code 817. Your last four digits are 8740. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Prophetess and Sister Lillian.
Welcome.
I have a question. My name is Betty, and I have a question that bothers me, and which I've listened to what you've said, and I agree a lot with what you said, you know, about preparation and, you know, getting ready for that man. But my issue is with, I do not know how this is going to be addressed, but my issue is with, okay, I experienced this like 2 weeks ago. So I'm here, I'm getting ready, all looking good. And for those who know me, they know I like to dress. I have no problem with that. And, you know, looking good and just being presentable and, you know, minding your own life. And you meet someone and they seem to be interested. And then they look at you and they're like, hey, where do you shop? I'm like, I mean, it depends. So you're not very specific, but you say it depends. Mm-hmm. And because of the way you look outside, they think, oh, she is too expensive, and even goes right out and tells me on my face, hey, I don't think you'll be easy to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking this is a brother who goes for a singles meeting and is raising up his hands there to, you know, he's praying for a wife. So when you say you need to, you know, like look good out there and you're just being simple but looking good, you know, it I don't know how, I don't even know if I'm asking the right way. All I'm asking is, like, sometimes you go, you try to work out something, you know, like follow the things. You've gone for singles meetings. You've been told this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. But they seem to have a problem with that. How do you deal with that? And I'm sure there's also other people on the prayer line who'd like to know. You're looking good, but then again, you've become too expensive for these people to maintain you, and you're not going to lower your standards. You know?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking on behalf of a lot of the other sisters as well. You know, somebody asked me that question on Sunday. They commented on my appearance, those of you who came on Sunday, and that's always been me. I like to look good, and those of you who know my spiritual mother, that's one thing she taught us. Always look good. Always, you know, take time to make yourself look wonderful and smell good, and, you know. So it is perfectly fine, Betty, for you to be attentive to your appearance. Or you always look fabulous. Every time I've seen you, you do. People who cannot be able to deal with that, maybe the first, when they see you, they just say, wow, you know, I'll need to get her to the hairdressers every week, or I need to, you know, buy Gucci and all that. That's their perspective of you, which may not necessarily be accurate. And if they're intimidated by that, then I would be concerned about their capacity to handle you, if they're intimidated by that factor. So I'd encourage you to maintain your standards, because I'm persuaded the way you look, the way you dress, the way you put yourself together, you do it because you love it.
Exactly.
So you don't want to change who you are to make yourself accessible or acceptable to other people. You dress very, very elegantly. So I think that is actually a good thing. So if they are intimidated by the first encounter with you and they say, wow, you're going to be high maintenance, that's off-putting in the beginning, but that should not become your issue. That should not discourage you, because God is going to bring somebody who will actually love that about you.
Exactly.
I will give you an example of Anthony. When Anthony met me, those are some of the first things he noticed about me. You put yourself together really well. And he complimented me on it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mind me sharing this, I'm sure. When we met, that month when we met, Anthony was not working. The brother didn't have a job. So can you imagine if he was intimidated by my appearance and thinking, right now, here and now, I don't have a job. How am I going to dress this woman? She's a doctor. She probably shops at, probably could throw a few names, which would probably be or not be accurate. But beyond my physical appearance, and if this is a man of faith, he should be able to say, God will provide for me to maintain her, and she's more than what I'm seeing. Her beauty inwardly is important, so I shouldn't focus on how much money it would cost me to maintain her. So I would politely just, you know, move on from these people and trust God to bring people who can handle you. But honey, do not lower your standards.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ooh, agree. Please run away from cheap men. Oof, men who are stingy, please, ladies. You don't want to mess with that. You will be miserable. Because anything, you want to go to the hair salon, it's a big deal. You want to go on vacation. So, I mean, anybody who, instead of a, and Betty, you dress so beautiful. Man, if I was a guy, I'm like, are these guys blind? What is the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Keep dressing the way you're dressing, sweetie. Keep looking beautiful. Do that catwalk. That special Boaz is going to come.
Hallelujah.
I like that. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for that question. Ms. Shiko, the second person.
Yes, we have area code 512. The last four digits are 7439. You're welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, Ms. You welcome from Austin.
Hi. To Miss Betty, high maintenance is better than no maintenance, because, oh, my God. But I was just calling because, you know, sometimes I'll be on Facebook a little bit too much. But sometimes when you looking on social media, you can't tell the difference between the Christian women and the saved women and the unsaved women, like looking at so many pictures. And I guess this is more so of a comment more than actually a question. But, you know, I read sometimes where girls are like, you know, why I can't find a man? And I'm like, I'm looking at your pictures. That's why you can't find a man. I mean, you're putting everything on blast for everybody and their mama to see. You're not leaving anything for your husband. you know, nothing is sacred. Or better yet, you know, putting pictures up there, like making yourself look available, and then you're going to put, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm like, that don't go together. I mean, I guess I'm just a little bit too observant with things. And even sometimes when you go into church, you can tell who's a single, desperate woman versus, you know, the ones that's, you know, being modest and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm a female. And so if, as a female, if I can notice certain things and don't even much engage in a conversation with you, I'm quite sure the men know. So some women, you know, you running the men off because you just a desperate housewife, basically, or want to be a desperate housewife. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm just trying to help the sisters out. Like, you know, my mom always taught me your appearance can be one of two things. It can make or it can break you. Your first appearance can be your last. So, you know, people can judge a book by its cover just based off of the way you dress or the way you carry yourself. And before a person really gets to know you whole, you know, led by the Holy Spirit, you got the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues and stuff. Unfortunately, we live in a society where they would judge a book by its cover because you dress a certain way. And I know this to be a fact because I'm a person, I wear jeans all the time. So I would go into churches and wear jeans just to watch the reaction that I get. And I'm like, it's amazing, you know, the way people would judge you. Or sometimes I would go in places and women would start clenching their husbands. I'm like, oh, excuse me, I'm married already. So, you know, it just... You know, it's very interesting at the way, you know, the response that you get. And sometimes I do it intentionally just to see, you know, what kind of, you know, world or churches and different things that we're dealing with. And by me also dealing with a lot of young people, young girls and stuff, you know, I put myself in their shoes a lot to see what it is that they go through. And it's amazing at, you know, the response that I get, especially as being a young woman, a young married woman. And, you know, going around older women and doing certain things and, you know, working in ministry and stuff like that, the response that you get from going into different churches just based off of the way you dress. And so, you know, I don't know if that's going to help anybody, but, you know, I just thought I'd put it out there because, I mean, social media can be good and it can be bad. And for some people, we got question marks about which one you're doing. Are you straddling the fence or what the deal is? But... I don't know.
Thank you, Q. Thank you. That's very, very helpful because, you know, you don't want to look like a you-know-what. You know, I remember John Hoskins several months ago came on and he talked about one of the things he loved about his wife, Shimoli, was she dressed so beautifully, so elegantly. You know, she's a beautiful girl, but everything was covered. And so you are right, Q, that men do notice, you know, the popping out boobs and short skirts and, you know, bending over and seeing everything. That is just, no, who wants a wife like that? So you are right on target. Thank you, Miss Q.
Yeah, not only that, you know, my husband also, you know, we talk a lot, and so he shared with me, like, the things that women do to him when we go to church, and sometimes we'd be together, and women would start grabbing on him and just doing all kinds of stuff, and they would know we together. And I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, you know, I'm glad I'm kind of confident in myself because, you know, I tell him, you know, look at me and look at you, you know. I get a little arrogant sometimes. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just amazing at the things that you deal with in ministry. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I could not be a pastor or a pastor wife. But my hats go off to y'all pastor wives. I ain't lying. But it's just amazing at the things that you experience. And I'd be like, wow, you know. And this is sometimes in the church. You know, it's like sometimes you expect this when you go to the world. But now it's like a lot of the world is coming to the church. And it's like, wow, what do you do now? And I'm like, okay, I done prayed and I done prayed. I'm like, Lord, help me, Jesus. You know.
Yeah, so many young ladies want to marry pastors, so we're definitely going to do one segment of the joys of being a pastor's wife. I'm not going to mention any names. Dr. Lillian, did you want to comment on that? Because, oh, you dressed so beautifully. You looked so beautiful. on Sunday. Very elegant, very decent. Oh, my goodness. Talk to our lovely ladies about dressing, the messages it portrays.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for the young lady for sharing that. I always say, if it's not on sale, don't flaunt it. If you don't want anybody buying it, then don't put it out there. And what you put out there, you draw the people who that's what they're looking for. That's just parallel truth.
Mm-hmm.
You attract the people who are looking for what they are seeing. So if you dress in a manner that's disrespectful, it says that's how you're speaking of yourself, because the way you put yourself speaks. That's a very loud message, and there are people who won't talk to you. They already hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But look, so if you dress in a disrespectful way, people already perceive that you don't respect yourself.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you're wondering, why are you attracting these losers with, you know, these jokers? That's what they're looking for, if that's what you're presenting to them. That's the message you're passing across. If you dress in a respectful, elegant, classy way, guess what? The classy men are going to come looking. The elegant people will come looking. You can look good and not look, I won't use the words that a prophetess won't also use, but you know, you want to make yourself, I said earlier, if you're desiring a king, you better strive to be a queen.
Yes, yes.
Like an elegant, respectable queen.
Mm-hmm.
And will come looking. There are people who, like, you know, Betty shared earlier, look good. You're going to draw somebody who loves that and appreciates that. But if it's a little too tight, there's nothing left to the imagination, you're going to also draw people who are lustful. Who want to unveil the package, because you're telling them this package could be unveiled anytime.
Wow. Okay, well, I believe that message has been heard loud and clear. Ladies, we value you so much. We don't want you to attract those losers. There is a Boaz out there. So please dress accordingly. Cover everything up in Jesus' name. Next caller, Chica.
Amen. Area code 817. Your last four digits are 8297. You are welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mom, Prophetess Mwaka. We love you. You're doing such an outstanding job, Mom. I salute you, woman of God. And
thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mom. Thank you, Dr. Lillian. Oh, my goodness. What man of wisdom. You're a woman of wisdom. And I really thank God so much for using you powerfully last Tuesday and also today. But most of all, you touched me when you talked about how a woman can prepare themselves to be a wife and not a girlfriend, because that's what I wanted to hear last time when I was asking so many questions. Why were you picked out of all these other women? Because I know my brother had come across so many beautiful women, educated and everything. But that's the same thing that happened to Queen Esther. When the king was looking for a bride, he had to pick one, and he picked Esther. And, you know, woman of God, I just want you to know that the favor of God is upon you. I love the fact that you are very, very humble. My question to you, honestly, I get attracted to humble people. I love my pastor's wife so much, my pastor, Prophetess Mwaka, because of her humility. Her humility just draws me to her. You know, there's something about humility that will make even young people, children, other people want to come to you. And Dr. Lillian, I've seen that in you. So how are you able to walk in humility with everything that God has done for you? You are very intelligent. You are very beautiful. You are very gifted and still very, very humble. That is my first question. Question number two, Dr. Lillian. When I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't grow up, I didn't get a, you know, I chance to grow up in a Christian family like so many other people. I grew up in a family where my dad never cared about the things of God, and vice versa, my mom's too. But when by God's grace, I joined I went to a high school where it was a Bible-based high school, and that's why I gave my life to the Lord. But it was a little bit confusing because my background didn't match what had happened to me. And when I came to America, still getting a Bible-based church was not easy until I went to All Nations. And when I went to All Nations, for the first time in my life, I met a woman of God who spoke so many great things. And she would tell us, when you smile, smile with a Colgate smile. It's like you're advertising Colgate. You are all that and a bag of chips. Tell your neighbor, handle me with care. And every time, whenever those words would ring in my mind, I would see a great woman in me. Every time she would start preaching, the Holy Spirit would do something where I would just stand up and start screaming, and there was a boldness that started developing in me. And I remember one time I had one of my brothers who was a friend, and they had a prayer line, and I would go to the prayer line and pray. And after the prayer line, he would get mad and say, who do you think you are? Why are you trying to imitate prophetess? You are not prophetess, Maka. Be Milka. Be yourself. Every time I'd go to church at times, maybe the Holy Spirit would be moving, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, God, I feel like screaming for you. And you see brothers are interested in you, and then all of a sudden they lose interest. They're like, can't you just have to sit down and keep quiet? So how do you handle a situation where God has gifted you, the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, and maybe you think maybe men will run away because of that boldness, and you don't know what to do? Should you change, or what should you do? So I have those two questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see if I can remember. You'll remind me the second one because I'm caught up in the first one.
Yes.
The first question you asked was how do I remain humble?
Mm.
That's a lifestyle. That is something that has always been me because I never despise my humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who know my life, I came from nothing.
Mm,
your whole life is a testimony by itself, because I've gone from, that's another story altogether, but just putting things in perspective and remembering that there's a season when I had absolutely nothing.
Wow.
And where I am now, if somebody told me I would be a doctor, even as recent as 15, 16 years ago, that would be quite an interesting joke, you know, because for me that was so out of reach and there were so many roadblocks in my way. But I'm also, so that helps me put it in perspective that it is all God.
Yeah.
It is the hand of God. My life and my siblings' lives is a testimony of God's faithfulness and favor of God. Some of you have had me testify before that I have never had to pay for school a single day.
Wow.
I never only paid for school until high school. My entire college experience, I never paid for school.
Wow.
It was God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I brag on that and take pride in that for myself. When I know God has way for me. So those things, including ministry, including just the doors that have opened before me, it's all God. That gives me because I know that I am no better than the next person who perhaps doesn't even have a single degree, never saw a college classroom. And I'm always reminded. I don't have to go too far to remember. I just need to call my sisters on the phone, and we laugh about the days we used to sleep hungry.
Wow.
You know, about the days when we had to stay outside because we were out at a Kesha or something. There's so many examples that are constantly with me every day that remind me that I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. And for those of you who don't know, I was not raised by a pastor or a bishop. By a Penina who would literally say, if you dare go to that church again, you sleep outside. And I would take the choice. I would sleep outside. Because leading the worship at the crusade tonight, of course I'm going. So those were my experiences as a young believer. So those things keep me humble.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God says, humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up. God lifts me up every day. So humility, to me, being a doctor is not a big deal, not because it's not valuable. I burnt the midnight oil. I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not tied up in the title. I'm not tied up in the prestige that comes with it. I graduated from a top school in the country, but that doesn't define me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Lillian, Sister Lillian, Dada Lillian, Lily, it's fine with me. I don't get an attitude because you dropped the doctor. That is trivial. And one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 18:16, which says, the gift of God will usher you before great men.
Amen.
First gift, that gift you're talking about that God puts in you and gives you courage, work that gift. Just focus on it. Bury your head in that gift, and it will open doors for you, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Meet with King without striving to be there. God will just bust the doors open as you work on the gift. I like to think of the gift as an usher.
Mm-hmm.
You know those places you go to and you know, the usher has to find you a seat because the church is full? The usher has a way of finding that one seat when you look and you see the church is full. That's how the gift of God works for you. It may seem like, how do I start? That gift will take away and people will fall to the wayside. If it's your season of revelation, God will reveal you before mighty men. You just humble and work the gift.
Amen. Amen. The second part of the question, thank you, Dr. Lillian. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know some of the things you shared. That even makes it so, your life so touching, and what a testimony. The second part is about, you know, if you know Milka, and I'm so glad you've shared this, Milka. You know, she's lively, she's bubbly, and we love her. You know, so many people, when I go places, you know, she's on our prayer line, they're like, oh, we can't wait to meet Milka. Or when people come to the church, they love that warm, welcoming side. But she's saying some guys have said, oh, you're too much, calm down. So should she change that bubbly, happy personality for the sake of a man?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
There is a man who is going to thrive on your bubbliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Sunday during the Thanksgiving celebration, there was somebody who came and was sharing. He stood up to share, and you know, he cracked a joke, and some of us didn't get the joke, so we probably didn't laugh.
I remember I didn't get the joke either.
But he laughed at his joke, and his wife laughed at that joke.
Exactly.
Now, why do I say that? Because there's somebody out there who can handle your uniqueness.
Thank you.
There's someone who you entertain them, and you tickle their last bone by just being yourself. And there's a method, that's why we're talking about compatibility, because God will bring somebody who, if you're goofy or you're sloppy or, you know, whatever it is, maybe you have that laughter that makes people turn around in the plane when you laugh in the flight. No? But there's a man who will come your way and you'll say, Milka, when you laugh, my world just lights up.
Yes.
Being yourself is so much easier than trying to be what somebody else wants.
Mm-hmm.
So come, if you strive to change, or if you meet somebody who wants to change you to be what they want you to be, that's work. Because then you're always modifying, you're always intimidated and always worried about if you're doing it enough for them to like.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're yourself, it's so natural, it's so fluid, it's so easy. And somebody out there will love you for you, with your height, with your weight, with your, you know, your physique, with your laughter, with your smile. With, we all have areas of ourselves that you're probably like, I don't know if anybody's going to appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Like I say, that young man, he cracks jokes that I understand. He's the only one who gets it. Nobody understands those jokes. But his wife, I'm sure, gets that out of it. So, okay. So I say, Milka, be yourself. Enjoy being yourself. You're fearfully and wonderfully made and uniquely made to just be a joy to somebody else. And he is out there. That man who will appreciate everything you are, he's out there.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Doctor.
And, you know, and to all any other ladies or gentlemen out there, you know, God has made each of us very unique. And so if somebody cannot accept you for you and they keep saying, change this, then really they need to look for somebody. You know, those of you who know Apostle and I, he's very serious, you know, kind of conservative, but he's talkative, you know. But I thank God he lets me be me. I'm hyper. Normally when we go to a function, he literally has to drag me out. But, you know, he knows that's just me. And, you know, if you've ever been to a Women of Destiny, we play games, we dance, we do fashion show, because that's me. You know, when I was in school, people really get amazed. My school friends cannot believe I'm a preacher because I was the class clown. I love to make people laugh, and I was always being sent out of class. So when I got saved, they were so worried that, oh, my God, don't tell me you've lost that fun. And I haven't, you know. So whenever I go to Nairobi, Lusaka, that's one of the things. Actually, quite a lot of them have come into the kingdom. They're like, wow, you mean you can still be happy and look nice and you know, still be a preacher? I'm like, oh, my, definitely. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I just cannot imagine if my hubby wanted this conservative, acting like I'm 75. And, you know, the Miracle Boys, I'm the one who was their choreographer. And, of course, now they have these latest moves, which I cannot do. But my hubby would laugh and say, oh, my God, this wife of mine is just too much. Because before they go out, her mama is there. Okay, do this, you know, try this. You know, that's just me. So, Milka, we love you just the way you are. If any other guy dares tell you to change, take me to them. I'll straighten them out. Because that is just so, stuff like that just makes me mad. But anyway. So, and to all other gentlemen, ladies out there, please be yourself. That's why you are you. We love you for who you are. And there's somebody out there who loves you for who you are. Don't change. You know, I mean, and when we say don't change, we mean don't change your personality. But, of course, we are all changing in terms of personal development, you know, character building in that area. Yep. But if God has made you with a sense of humor, keep it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio family said, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. This show, we're supposed to have been done half an hour ago.
Yeah.
Told me, that's okay.
We actually have two more callers on queue.
Okay, and let me just say, somebody text me now. I'm not as tech savvy as Miss Shiko. I don't know how to be on the phone and get text. So I'm in my 40s and Shiko is like, I don't know, 21. So can you forward
that text? Yes, 21.
Can you forward that text, the lovely lady, because I want her to read out your question. I just don't know how to access, because if I try, I'll disappear from the Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so let's take those two questions, and let's try to wrap it up in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We have Pastor Nathan online. Pastor Nathan, you're welcome. Whoa.
Thank you.
Welcome, Pastor Nathan. That's my buddy right there.
Oh, my goodness me. Dr. Lillian, Pastor Mwaka, I am blessed.
And what are you doing on Girl Talk? Today is Girl Talk.
That's the second thing I want to say. All the men outside there, when you see a title, Girl Talk, they are telling you, you need to listen. I'm telling you, Dr. Lillian, and I'm sure you agree with me, I live with three ladies, okay? You know that, Pastor Mwaka. And I need to be equipped with this information. When my little girl comes crying to me, I'll know what to say to her.
Let me just introduce you, man of God. This whole essence, the Zambia Block Talk Radio, Pastor Nathan Kama is one of the co-founders, the visionary of this great media, and he's the one who came to me last year to say, my sister, we really want you to be part of our team. And so everybody knows I appreciate him so very much, him and his dear wife, wonderful, incredible friends of ours. You know, somebody who can push you to go into a platform you never dreamed of is just so very special. So Radio Family, help me to welcome Pastor Nathan Nkama to Girl Talk this evening. I had to put that in there.
Oh, my goodness me. You know I'm going to show up at that ladies' luncheon on Saturday. I'll show up.
The Women of Destiny. Oh, Pastor.
Now, the other, I really don't want to take away or say anything else from what you have said. This is very profound. And the only comment I wanted to make is that only a foolish man tells a lady you'll be expensive to maintain.
Can you imagine?
For me, when I see, when you look at a lady who's dressed elegantly, then you know she's ready to be a wife.
Wow. Wow.
Because it tells you that even where she's coming from, it's also sparkling as she is sparkling herself. I mean, and by the way, Millicent will save Pastor Mwaka the trouble of going to that man who is saying you should change. Send me instead, Pastor Mwaka. I think Dr. Lydia... Yes, Dr. Lillian agrees. We need to save prophetess there. She needs to keep her integrity. Send your brother there so that I go and give that person one or two pieces of a mind. You don't tell a person to change. You don't tell a person to change. You love them for what they are.
Right.
I'm telling you, I just wanted to say I'm blessed. I couldn't resist by calling. I mean, I am so blessed. I am so blessed, woman of God. Thank you, Dr. Lillian. I am so blessed.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Nathan. And, you know, you've heard me announcing we want to do very soon, before the summer is over, we really want to have just a panel of men. And, you know, they tell us, you know, there's some of the things that they look for. And because, you know, expectations are so different. And so we're just going to have a solution with guys only. It might take 2 weeks and... You know you got to be part of it, and then also from a woman's point of view. So it's going to be
very, very exciting. I'm at your service, woman of God. Just say the word, and I'll be there. And the other thing also is that, you see, that's why I told you, woman of God, that you need to do a seminar on language and English, because the men don't know how to talk to the women. You know that English you speak, you know the English I'm talking about.
Which English?
The English you know, all of us hear you preach. When you're talking, I'm saying to myself, did she go to the same school I went to, you know? I mean, it sounds like I'm joking, but you see, the thing is that one other thing is that men, we need to learn the etiquette of how to relate to a woman.
Wow.
Especially African men, because we come with that chieftainship thing in our mind, you see?
The chieftainship?
the chieftainship thing, you, the imagination you have is Shiku with a clay pot on her head going to the well. This is 21st century. Shiku is not going to the well. She's going to school. She's got a job she goes to. She drives.
But you are right, Pastor. You are really, you are so right.
I'm telling you, Mama, the men, we need to catch up. This is 21st century. We
That's
need
why
to catch
we're
up.
Gonna have the dialogue with the men only. And
maybe let me read what I have to say for that discussion you have. But all I wanted to say by calling is I'm blessed. And please keep up the good work. This is a blessing. I'm actually thinking that, you know what, we need to seek the Lord to open doors for us in those radio stations out there for this thing to be aired live.
Wow, wow, wow. We give God the glory. Pastor, just tell our listeners, like the Zambia Block Talk Radio, how many people does it reach, which nations? Because, you know, sometimes when Shiko is texting people, I think they're just thinking, oh, it's our pastor with like 7-8 people. But tell them where as the reach.
No, the reach actually, we have quite a great audience, of course, in Africa and in Europe. And
mm-hmm.
For the other shows, most of the shows are done on Saturday. We have like 4 hours of broadcasting, 4 to 5 hours of broadcasting on Saturday. And we
mm-hmm.
have one host. We have a host in Australia. We have a host in Germany. And the rest of us, and we have a host in Canada as well. And the two, three hosts, some of us are based in the United States. So it's basically a worldwide audience. And in the early days, those that have been following Solutions, you remember there was a lady who used to participate from Australia, and there are people listening out there.
Yes.
Worldwide, yes. And that's the reason when we promote the show, we put the time there for Kenya, for Britain, the GMT time, and all these time zones, so that the people, whichever part of the world they are based, they know that this show will be aired at this time. And the other thing about this, which people may not know, I don't want to take much of the time, woman of God, is that they can go back and listen to the recorded shows.
Yes.
So if your friend missed a show, I know it's about 4:30 a.m. right now in Kenya, for example. The
mm-hmm.
reason why Shiku puts those links on Pastor Mwaka's Facebook page, Fresh Aroma, her personal page, and the Solutions Radio Show page, she puts a link there. You can copy and paste that link and send to your friend. They can listen to the show again.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very, is it social media, Confessant Shiku, the word? You know, I'm sounding like I'm very intelligent, but my kids are the ones who teach me these things.
It is an amazing.
You see, that's why I'm not a fool, Pastor Mwaka. I even ask my kids when I don't know something on the computer. I just go to them and say, "What should I do here?" And they tell me, "Oh, Daddy, just click here and there. That's it. What's up with you?" And I'm like, "Come on! I was born a long time ago. There were these things were not there."
Exactly.
That's about the shows, and everybody can listen. So those of you that have called in, please get that link on your website, on your Facebook page, and send it to a friend. Let them listen to this. This is a blessing. This is a blessing.
It really, really is. Thank you, Pastor Nathan. Your presence means so very much to us. I'm always so very grateful for your wisdom and, of course, for this incredible opportunity. We don't take it lightly because many, many lives are being touched and a strong foundation is being built in the area of relationships and marriage. So thank
Amen.
You, man.
Thank you, woman of God, Dr. Lillian Shiku. Thank you for allowing this man to bow into girls' talk.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to take two last questions because if my sweetheart wakes up from his jet lag, I need to kneel and, you know, prepare the inshima, ogali, all that good stuff. I got to practice what I preach. So let's do the two remaining questions.
Yes, we have area code
316. Your last four digits are 5720. You're welcome. Area code 316. Your last four digits are 5720.
Hello, ma'am. This is Jambi. Good evening.
Welcome, Miss Njambi from Kansas City. Which
yes, I am so blessed. Good evening, Dr. Lillian. I thank God for you and for the wisdom God has placed in you. I just wanted to testify that this has been a healing evening for me. Rather healing and just assurance that, you know, keep on doing what you're doing, even though you're going to be just by yourself among your young ladies, just keep on doing what you're doing. So I'm encouraged. Some areas the healing has started, and not even looking back, I'm determined to move on forward. So may God bless you and continue using you. Let it not end after you get married. I pray that God will continually use you even as you walk in your marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That is so encouraging. That my desire is to be a blessing to others too. A source of encouragement to somebody, to build somebody else. Anthony and I are really honored to be, you know, to be positioned in a place where people can learn from us, that we may be around people who would actually not have to go through some things because we have helped them
work
their relationships so that, and that is part of what God calls us to as ministers, that whatever things are working for me, I don't keep them to myself. I turn around and say, look, here, you can avoid this pothole. You can avoid this. You can learn from this so that we enrich each other. So our desire is we are open to God, that God is opening up avenues of ministry. Even as after we are married, we are asking God, we don't want to be that couple that hibernates indefinitely because we are married. We want to be us in serving God and changing lives and relationships has been my passion. And as you know, as an unmarried woman, sometimes people would wonder why am I a speaker at women's conferences and singles conferences, but I have a passion to impact people's lives and to strengthen relationships. So I'm touched by your testimony, and I pray that, you know, the healing hand of God, the balm of Gilead, may continue to just be upon you.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This is what the show is all about, to bring transformation, to encourage people, to let them know how valuable they are, and, of course, to bring hope that if surely God can do it for Lillian and Anthony and so many other couples that have shared the last 9 months, he can do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. But this forum also, it's almost like a counseling session, you know, as different couples pour in, and even as Dr. Lillian, since last week, has been sharing her testimony, I believe so many have been enriched and just enlightened. And thank you, Njambi, for sharing and letting us know that her testimony has brought healing to your life. That really makes it worth it. To God be the glory. Shiko, did you get that text from the lady from Eunice?
No, I did not. Does she know my number?
She does.
Oh, okay. No, she did not text me. I just checked again.
Okay. Do we have any callers?
No, we don't. We're done with callers now.
Well, we just want to appreciate you once again, Dr. Lillian. I mean, if Mr. Pastor Nathan, the founder of this Zambia Block Talk Radio, can come on Girl Talk, then you know
you've made an impact.
That is awesome. If a man of God can just come and just say how blessed he is. And there are actually many people who log in, and I always ask them at church, why don't you ever say anything? But they're shy, but they tell me all the time. And those who tuned in last week were just so blessed and so, so ministered unto by your testimony. So one last word, Dr. Lillian, to our wonderful radio family, in the many things you've shared, all the nuggets of wisdom, what is one or two things you want them to just, you know, ponder about as they go to listening?
Let me just say, one of the things that stands out to me right now, there's so much I could say, is to encourage everybody who's listening, whether you are, you know, a bride in waiting or a groom in waiting, whether you're already married, whether you've been married 6 months, 6 years, 20 years, let us be teachable people. One of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 50 verse 4, God, give me the tongue of the learned. Of Lord, give me a teachable spirit. I'm constantly learning. A lot of the things that I've shared tonight are not things that I've known all along. I'm constantly learning. I'm like a sponge. I'm constantly investing in myself to learn. Even though I'll be married in a little over 3 months, I'm so yearning and hungry to learn how to be a bride to Anthony, how to be a wife. So be teachable. Never think that you have arrived, that you've got it together. It's always something new that God can teach you. It could be through your newborn, could be through Angela and Isaac.
Yes.
It could be through anybody. Be teachable and surround yourselves with good counsel. As you approach marriage, those of us who are not married, surround yourself with sound wisdom and counsel. And God is going to bring you into a new season. Have just a very teachable, malleable, flexible tongue. That scripture says that I may know when to speak a word in season to him who is weary. The girls, this is girl talk. God is calling us to be helpers. And a pastor shared and said, you can only help somebody who has an assignment. So God is going to send you a man who has an assignment, because you cannot help somebody who does not have a mission.
Wow.
So you will be, you have a very purposeful mission as a wife. It's not just being in love and having all these goosebumps and being a pretty bride and having a lovely wedding. It's marriage, I'm persuaded, even though I'm not there yet, is a mission.
Yes, yes it is.
And so I would encourage everybody on the line. I know when I speak, some people think I know so much. No, I'm learning every day. And I spend time with Prophetess because I love her and because I admire you and Apostle. I admire your marriage. And
wow.
Love to learn from you. I will seek you out until you tell me, okay, honey, give us a break.
No. Oh, sweetheart, you're always welcome. Our lives are an open book.
Yeah. So that's what I would share. Let's be people who are teachable regardless of what season we are in, because then you enrich your life. You're constantly growing, because when you think you got it together, that's when the bottom gives in. Yeah, so let's be people who are teachable, whether it's from the man or the woman of God that God has placed in your life, that we may grow. Otherwise, I love you all. I am so honored to be on this show. I'm a work in progress. There's a big sign over my head that says construction, work in progress, under construction.
Oh, sweet. We are all a work in progress. You know, I always say, even we, the hosts, we have learned so much. As much as we've been married for 21 years, it's just refreshing to hear the testimonies. you know, to see people work through their challenges, you know, just, be, you know, seeing couples standing for each other, supporting one another. It also encourages Apostle and I to keep going forward. So all of us are on this journey, and I 100% agree with you about having that teachable spirit. You know, in the world, they understand that that's what makes their businesses boom and their corporations grow, because they are constantly researching and asking and desiring from others who've gone ahead of that. And I believe as the body of Christ, if we can have that same spirit, you know, it's not weakness, you know, having a teachable spirit, it's actually greatness. And I just really love that about you, Dr. Lillian. And again, we are just over blessed. I mean, words cannot express just your testimony, your journey, and even just watching, you know, to see you're still, you know. And again, sometimes when some people, when God answers them, you know, the zeal for the Lord goes. And but thank God that you're consistent, still on fire, still treating people so well. It's a testimony to the glory of God, and we just appreciate you so very much. We are praying for you.
Amen.
All roads are headed to Miami in October.
Amen.
Looking forward to that royal wedding. And again, Radio Family, we appreciate your support today. The show went much longer. Usually we do 1 hour, but it was worth it. Please do tell your friends about it. We want to just touch as many people as we can. And again, we're on Facebook. Like our page. Send us a message. If you have topics you want us to do, definitely before the summer, we're going to have that man talk. Let the men talk from their heart. And that's going to be very interesting. And then, of course, also the ladies are going to talk. So great things are in store. Again, if you're in Dallas this weekend, you're welcome to All Nations House of Prayer. Just come pray with us Friday. It's exciting prayer, powerful worship. And, of course, Sunday, if you're not committed, Sunday morning, Pastor Prince from Zimbabwe will just going to raise the roof. You are also welcome to join. Otherwise, this has been Pastor Mwaka from Dallas, Texas. Thank you to all those who called in. Thank you for all the questions. Shiko, we appreciate all that you do to facilitate and get this show going. Much love to you all. Dr. Lily, we love you. Please greet the family and the wonderful friends and community in Miami, Florida.
Amen.
God bless you all. You all have a great night. Till we meet next Tuesday.